Dear Shooter, sometimes school policies put in place with, like, absolutely no common sense. This week we bring you Peanuts, the new assault weapon banned on campuses everywhere.
But they did state that when these guns are put together with different pieces or whatever, it's like an organ transplant.
Yeah, I got an F in shooting once.
It's a perishable skill.
Quitting?
Yes. My favorite death threat I ever got, the guy left his email address on.
He's just going to make it rain in Spanish, that's all.
Here's 20 cents. Wow, you just made that
clip-on. It's not a strap-on.
2 weeks for all that? That isn't training, that's camp.
You couldn't read a brochure on all that shit in that time.
Prepare to enter the space where nothing is safe, nothing is sacred, and offensive conversation is encouraged. Welcome to the Dear Shooter Podcast and your hosts, Jason Wilson, Brandy, and Jason Croteau.
Okay, so Brandy came across this video and had to share it with the rest of us, and it just gave us pause. So before we get going on this, let me just play the thing for you, and we'll go from there.
So I work nights, and I get a phone call this morning from the school saying there's been a situation, we need you to come in. Well, is everybody okay? Oh, we'll discuss that when you get here. Oh, I'm on my way. I get there, and they immediately rush me to the principal's office, and she's waiting for me with a bag of evidence and says, do you know what this is? That's a Reese's peanut butter cup. Right. And this is a nut-free school. See, we have some students with some severe peanut allergies, and we found this in your son's lunchbox, and I don't know what kind of disciplinary action we're going to have to take. Are we still talking about a peanut butter cup? Oh, yes, sir, we are. See, we consider something like this just as deadly as bringing a weapon into school or communicating threats. Do you know how many people he could have possibly hurt or even worse?
for a peanut butter cup?
I don't think that you are taking this seriously.
Oh, I don't think you understand how seriously I am taking it. See, because I'm pretty pro Second Amendment, and if you're going to compare a Reese's peanut butter cup to a weapon, oh, we're going to have a good time. I mean, because you're out here treating them like you're some kind of teenage trail mix terrorist. I remember in the 2000s after Columbine, we legitimately were worried about the trench coat mafia. I guess now we got the trail mix mafia? And we had contraband sniffing dogs at school. I reckon now we're just going to have a whole bunch of squirrels.
Eagle One, stop all movement. We have a hit for pistachios.
Know how rednecks are. This is going to take off big. You're going to start having people with members of the NRA, Nut Right Activist.
A bunch of rednecks flying American flags with Mr. Peanut wearing a MAGA hat out of a truck that actually has truck nuts. It's two big chrome peanuts hanging off the tailgate. To good campaign slogans like, this we shall defend.
It's my constitutional right to have peanut brittle. Government's got no business telling me how much peanut butter I can own.
Thank goodness it was just a regular two-pack of Reese's and not one of those extended clipped king-sized.
What's going to happen next? You're going to have a CCW permit for an almond joy?
Well, this is a right to carry state, sir. I got two paydays in my back pocket. I don't know what's happening to this world. I got a bag of walnuts that belonged to my grandfather hanging over my mantle. And one day, I'm going to pass those walnuts down to my own grandchildren. I don't mean to make fun of everybody's ailments, but I can guarantee you my son was not going to share Reese's peanut butter cups with anybody.
So, this is the craziness that we have come to.
Common sense has left the discussion.
It had a long time ago.
And what's sad is I've seen this in a couple different places, and it's not just this guy ranting and raving about it. There are schools and workplaces that are nut-free zones.
Okay.
Question for you, though.
Most children, adults, and people know they're allergic to peanuts, so if they see a peanut, don't touch it, eat it.
Yeah.
Quite frankly, if you're allergic to waffles, don't eat at the Waffle House. It's pretty simple stuff.
But that would negate me having a lawsuit.
Well, you can sue over darn near anything.
That's what I'm saying. Like, and how much of this crap is because, oh, my son's allergic to peanuts. So the parent goes, oh, well, you see somebody with a Reese's peanut butter cup, you better try and get a piece of that so we can sue the school.
We found this in your son's lunchbox.
Yeah, that's what I want to know, too. Why are you going through lunchboxes?
Is there a beet nut conspiracy going on? Is this a red alert type situation?
Trail mix mafia.
This is retarded. And I mean that in the truest sense of the word. This is defying logic, not up to social norms.
No. This is lunacy. And I like how he draws the parallel. Well, I guess the school drew the parallel to this. You know, we take this as seriously as a weapon or a threat. Really?
Yeah.
The last I knew, like, I don't perceive peanuts as a deadly threat.
Well, you're not allergic to them.
No, but still.
I mean, if I was to, you know, get a lavender candle out here and light it up in front of you, that's not exactly nice.
That wouldn't bother me. It's anything on the skin. And then they just get itchy.
You just get itchy. So you're like death allergic.
No, it's just it's irritating.
Oh. Well, I mean, the one allergy that I have is a little more than irritating. But I don't see anybody rubbing a cat in my face either.
I don't know. The cats try every time you're here because they know they can kill you.
And see, they are terrorists.
They are. Well, cats are just terrorists by nature.
That's right. But a Reese's peanut butter cup? Seriously?
Yeah, and like he's going to share it? I mean, the guy's right. Like, my kid's going to share that with anybody.
Well, and if you've seen the guy, if the kid resembles the guy, yeah, no, he's not. I mean, he looks like I do.
I mean, it's not exactly a principal thing. Okay, some lunch lady sees him. He's got a peanut butter cup. He eats said peanut butter cup. Have him go wash his hands and face after. What is the harm?
Yeah, well, and okay, so, and it starts down that slippery slope, right? It's that law of unintended consequences. What's next? Now they're going to start, you know, you can't have your insulin pump.
It's distracting for children.
Yeah.
Sure.
I mean, this is where it goes. We've seen it time and time again.
I maybe could even let it slide better in a private school, but in a public school, no.
Right. Well, and even in a private school. I mean, come on.
Fair enough.
I mean, come on.
And how old is this kid? Maybe he didn't even pack his lunch.
You're probably right.
So now the kid's going to get in trouble at school. They don't know what punishment it is. Did he know what mom put in the box?
Yeah, and what punishment is deserved?
Well, if they see it as bringing a gun to school and making threats, you're talking suspension, expulsion.
I don't see why they even had to call the parents. If they were that uptight about it, confiscate it before it's open and get rid of it. It is not a call your parents into the school and discuss your future.
But now you got it. Now you got a case against the school for theft.
Let's just rewind this for a second. You worked nights, Brandy.
Back in the day.
Oh. Yeah. And let's say you had a double and you worked nights. And the school wakes you up to haul you in there because your daughter had a Reese's peanut butter cup in her lunchbox.
That principal would not be standing anymore.
No.
It's ridiculous.
It's absolutely ridiculous. But we've gone to this cancel culture, say something if you see something kind of thing. And I'll be honest with you. The secret to long life is minding your own business.
Been much better. Like I said, take the Reese's peanut butter cups, dispose of them, put a note in the lunchbox stating this had to be done because we're in that free school, and the mom goes, oh, yeah, my bad, instead of making a big ordeal.
Exactly right.
Right.
And, all right, so it was a policy that was written, and the parents signed it. Let's say, let's go there, okay? You're right. Hey, we found this. It violated this policy. Can you please not do it again? That should have been the tone and the verbiage, if it was, in fact, a policy.
The verbiage was more like he was getting kicked out of school is how it was verbalized.
Well, yeah, they were treating the kid like he had brought a bomb.
Yeah, you don't call the parents into the school unless something's really on the edge of expulsion. You just don't do it.
Well, and I think all three of us sitting here have had that call where we ended up going to school because something was going on with our kid, and the school called and they had an issue, and we went and resolved it, and it did not, I think in all three of our cases, it did not go in the school's favor.
It did not.
I don't know. There was a lot at my daughter's school, but we were in a bigger city then. She got after school suspension because she cut in the lunch line.
She got after school suspension because she didn't put her name on the top of the paper.
Yeah. That one too.
Did they call you to the school for those things?
They did not. She just had to call me and said she was going to miss the bus, which sucked because I was a working mother and school was 12 miles away.
Sure. But there's a policy like that. That's dumb.
It is dumb. I know in my experience, I got into it pretty hardcore with the principal and my daughter's history teacher because they were teaching revisionist history and trying to say that Martin Luther King freed the slaves.
Oh, good Lord.
And I'm like, can we teach history right here, like correctly?
So, yeah, I got called to school because my daughter had created herself as a problem child. This is my daughter. She's the most by-the-book rule follower that I know.
Square.
She is. She's total square. But they were having a protest walkout to honor the folks at ParkQuest. And she's like...
Oh, yeah, you know, the Parkland shooting, yeah.
Yeah, so they were honoring them by a whole school walkout. They were going to go across the street to the park, right? And she decided to go do her homework in the library instead of participate in their political protest. And they thought that that was being a problem child, and I had to set the principal straight on how that actually went.
And what the hell is the school doing shoving politics down these kids' throats? Because you're talking about a captive audience here.
Well, they were leaving the school property, and the last time I checked, in middle school, that required a note signed consent.
Right.
And you knew who was chaperoning and what times it was going to be and all of that. Well, they didn't do any of that crap. So the school really opened themselves up to a discussion.
Well, yeah.
But in any of our cases, did they compare that to bringing a weapon to school?
Oh, no, no. Now, they were a little upset because they were afraid I brought a weapon to school because they knew who I was.
Well, I always have one on me, so I did, but they didn't look.
Oh, no. I left mine in the car. Now, I got to the door and went, oh, crap, and had to go back to the car. But, yeah. and it was funny, too, because it the same high school I went to, and I'm talking to people that were my teachers in high school, and I'm like, look, you didn't teach me this crap. Why are you doing it now?
There's a federal government. Shift,
yeah.
And I get my tinfoil hat on a little bit, but there is a political shift that's happened in the last 15 years where teachers indoctrinate kids rather than educate them.
Right.
There is an agenda that the Democrats push, and they've festered it into the curriculum, because how are schools funded? Well, it used to be funded. Now it's not that way.
No, but it's a mess.
The Department of Education was a liberal slush fund.
When are we getting rid of that?
It's gone. It's gone. Department of Education was dismantled with DOGE.
Good.
It's gone. So hopefully some of this stuff will go away.
Right.
But the idea that somebody else can tell you what to do at these levels is egregious. It's draconian at best.
It is. And just, I mean, to compare bringing any kind of nut into a school to, you brought a weapon. Really? Okay. Well, next time I'm going to bring anthrax and see what you do with that.
You know what this is going to lead to, right? So... No peanuts. Peanut-free zone. Well, you have lactose intolerant children.
Oh, no milk.
So no
school,
milk.
Though.
No cheese.
No cheese. And then you have your celiac kids.
Oh, there goes...
What are they going to eat?
There goes the square pizza slices that we had. You guys remember those?
It's going to tumble down.
I remember those. Except I'm one of the unique ones because in a small school like I had, our lunches were pretty good because...
Well, yeah, you had 35 kids?
Yeah, and then a couple of the grandmas ran the lunchroom, and we ate well, actually. There was no reason to leave campus for food because school food was good.
Well, you couldn't anyway.
So
there's nowhere to go.
Right. Yeah, yeah. Well, yeah. What is there in Lingle?
Nothing.
We had 108 kids, freshman through senior, and 385 people when I was a junior.
Yeah, but where would you go to eat for lunch?
Well, you could go up to Lear's and then be late because they take forever. That was a Mexican restaurant in town. Or you could go over to the bar and get a pizza. At the drive-up window, mind you.
I mean, could you call ahead? Well, no you couldn't. It was pre-cell phone.
We didn't have cell phones at that time. Yeah, there was no calling ahead.
Damn it. So in this same vein, I came across another article, and it was a Maine professor, and it was a anti-Second Amendment rant, and now she actually has the Maine legislature calling for her removal. In college professor, right? And the assignment, they wanted to, I don't know. it was to write a paper on something that you're passionate about. And one of the students, student's name is Kate Parker, chose to address the state's controversial red flag laws. Because Maine does have the red flag laws. Well, this professor decides that she can't even grade the paper because it's too distressing. Her quote was, "I find the Second Amendment nonsense exhausting and highly recommend you choose a different topic since this is not one I can easily grade given my own disdain for the misinterpretations of the Second Amendment." Hate to tell you, but guns do kill. Just ask the victims of over 200 shootings this year or the parents of the Uvalde kids. Refusing to grade a paper because she disagrees with the premise.
That's indoctrination. Mm-hmm. You're punishing somebody for having a stance on a political issue. It's indoctrination.
Right.
And what happened to, I had a college professor and we got to write similar papers. And I wrote one that went against her views. And she let me know up front. She goes, okay. She says, I didn't read the paper, but I know what my opinions are. And she goes, I just want you to know if you want to take it back and do any editing, because you're going to have to make me believe it.
No.
She goes, that's all I want you to do is I want you to make me actually think.
No, that's not what they're grading. Because the grading on this is, how did you write the paper? We're talking about grammar and format and
in college.
Yes,
that's so. Yeah, now
see, and I disagree. College should be the ability to express different viewpoints and learn from each other. And just because your college professor has a stance on whatever topic you took, she actually did you a disservice by telling you she didn't read the paper.
Well she said she hadn't yet, and if I wanted to make edits, because she goes, you're gonna have to make me believe it, I did make edits, and I still turned in that topic, and she still gave me an A, and she said, even though I don't believe in it, she said, you had great points.
See, and that's what a college professor should do.
Well, in that what higher learning is supposed to be is be exposed to real-world ideas.
Make you think.
Right.
That's it.
Well, you know, but of course, we have Harvard now that's happening to teach remedial math.
Well, because the students that are going in now are trained on Common Core.
Well, right. Well, and
the reason I'm not allowed in the campus anymore.
There might be a story there.
Oh, God. So this one's real simple. I was walking through the kitchen one Saturday morning, and my daughter was at the bar doing her homework. And the guy kind of grazed by, and I look at his math. I'm like, oh, hey, neat. I want to take a look. How is she doing? What is she doing? This is sophomore math, right? And I look at the paper a little bit, and I said, well, it's really well organized, but it's wrong. She had the wrong answers on the majority of the problems. And so I just leaned over the bar and said, all right, so what's going on here? She goes, I'm doing math. I said, well, you're doing something that looks like math, but explain this to me, because most of your answers are wrong. And then she says it. Well, Dad, it's not about the answer. It's about the process.
Oh, my God. Yeah.
She goes, we're doing common core math now, and I have to break things down into base eights and then navigate from there. And I said, so you're getting lost in the weeds, and you have forgotten the process of getting the right answer. She goes, I understand what you're saying. Who's your teacher? So she gives me the teacher. And I call the school, and I make an appointment with the teacher just to find out what the hell's going on. Because math's one of those things. It's a universal language, and the answer is the only thing that matters. How you get there, I could care less. There's 900 ways to solve one problem, but as long as they end up with the same answer, right? And so I have this very academic conversation with the teacher, and she is no child left behind, Common Core, drinking the Kool-Aid.
Well, and remember, engineer, math matters.
Math matters. That's exactly right. And then she says, well, if we teach math the way you're talking about it, and he goes, yes, we'll get right answers, but most of my students won't pass the test.
Well, too bad.
Wait.
Then you're not an effective teacher.
That's right. It's a teacher problem, not a student problem, not a curriculum problem.
Right.
It's your job to take those students, identify what their learning issue is, and help them get the right answer. That's the point. And she gets heated and calls me a couple names, and not my shining moment, but I retaliate with a very simple thing. Math this out. If you're asleep in your house and I nail your windows and doors shut, how many minutes does it take you to realize that you're burning to death? Evidently, that was construed as a threat, and I'm no longer allowed on campus.
Well,
technically, it kind of, sort of. Yeah, it kind of sounds like one.
It was just a math problem.
Well, and we learned this, 2 years ago? Math matters. You need to understand pressures, because if you put pistol powder in a rifle cartridge, your gun blows up.
You learn real fast about 19 times expansion rate difference.
Yeah.
Real
so
fast.
Math matters. But but you're exactly right. The fact that these teachers are drinking the Kool-Aid, and they're pushing an agenda rather than educating.
And there's a term that I never really subscribe to, because not all teachers are this way. But that dumbing down of America is a systematic approach to education. And they're teaching a watered-down curriculum so everybody passes the test, not learns anything.
Well, and I've been screaming about this for years. And most people, they know me. I'm pretty staunch on the conservative side. But I blame Bush, because it was under Bush that we got No Child Left Behind. And that was the start. That was where we started down the road to Common Core.
And you're right. In the premise of how he implemented it, just like welfare, best intentions and all that.
Yeah.
He didn't want our children to fall behind in the education rankings in the global scheme. Well, newsflash.
We did.
We fell at a rapid rate and continue to fall because agendas are being taught, not curriculums.
Right. And that's it right there. Agendas versus curriculums. And that's at the heart of it. And, ooh, wow, we're halfway through. Let me pay some bills and we'll come right back.
Beans, bullets, Band-Aids, and booze. While everyone forgets about the last one, 10th Mountain has you covered. With a range of whiskey, vodka, and cordials, you're sure to find just the right spirit for your next adventure. Just remember to flip up your nods before you take a sip. Now shipping orders to nearly every US state so you can get in on the awesomeness. Enter Dear Shooter at checkout for 15% off your order. 10th Mountain Whiskey and Spirits Company. Whiskey worth fighting for.
Are you fed up with paying premium prices for mediocre performance? It might be time to up your game with Lucid Optics. Lucid Optics delivers world record-setting performance without breaking the bank. From long-range precision, hunting application, and the first-ever reflex optic in blue, your mission won't be compromised. Lucid Optics are built tough as nails for the most demanding situations, using ED shot glass to ensure your view is crystal clear and backing it up with a lifetime warranty. To learn more, ask your dealer or go to lucidoptics.com. Lucid Optics. On target. Under budget.
All right, so I think we've substantially beat that dead horse. So you were at a ribbon-cutting ceremony this weekend for Kel-Tec in Wyoming.
Yeah, so Kel-Tec is taking one of their items and kind of as a pilot program have moved the manufacturing facility to Rock Springs. Mm-hmm. They're making their 5.7 pistol, their brand new one, right here from scratch for the most part in Rock Springs. And I had been working with Kel-Tec previously on a couple other things, and they finally got around to having everything ready to show. So they had the governor out, and they brought the NRA in. Mr. Doug Hamlin was there. I was there. Our local field rep, he was there. It was just kind of a invite-only celebration of Kel-Tec is in Rock Springs now.
Now, Kel-Tec's originally out of Florida.
Correct. They're still there.
I realize that. But they chose Rock Springs.
Yes.
And did they move any of their employees from Florida to Rock Springs?
One.
And why was he punished so? Because we all know Rock Springs sucks.
Well, it started out Eric and Chris, and those guys are really good at process management and logistics setup. And through Wyoming winter and attrition, Eric ended up leaving because he couldn't handle it. And that left Chris behind to run the show and get it up and running, which he did in record time. They did chose Wyoming because of the friendly environment to firearms manufacturing, as well as the incredible resources in Rock Springs available as the oil and gas business has been leaving. And so there's facilities there that are 50,000 square feet that are sitting empty, and it was a big benefit to the community to have them come in and do this.
Sure.
So the state of Wyoming cut them some grease and some tax breaks, and they got them here. Since they got here, Chris has been hiring as many Wyoming locals as he can get his hands on. He's had to import a few to get some key jobs done, and ended up replacing them with folks from Wyoming that had either worked the mines or been in oil and gas early. They are now looking at being able to work inside in the winter, and they're kind of excited about being there. So I think they're going to thrive in this environment. I think they're going to bring more items here.
Well, they're frying right now. It's hot.
This is hot. But that building is got incredibly well climate controlled for as big as it is.
Well, and you and Brandy have been through it.
Yep.
Like, you did a tour of it, and Brandy said it is the most immaculate manufacturing environment she's ever been in.
Yeah, all the CNC machines and everything, you're used to walking through a plant, and there's the sludge and stuff on the floor because machine spills. The, you know, product parts that come out, the waste parts. These floors are so shiny you could eat off of them. They literally clean and mop.
But let me ask you this, because I know this is extremely important to you. Do they have a shop dog?
They have two.
They do. They had the shop dogs at the party we was at on Saturday, and they ran and they played. Nobody paid them any attention. They threw sticks for them. I mean, it was...
Was it black tie?
It was not.
Oh, so the dogs didn't have to dress up.
They did, though.
Oh, cool.
Each of the dogs had Kel-Tec bandanas.
All right.
Were running around.
You can't
having a good
throw
time.
A black tie in Rock Springs. Nobody knows what that is.
Well, they did bring the management in from Florida, and this facility actually has guest rooms upstairs where, you know, your out-of-town guests can stay.
Oh, wow.
It's truly a nice facility. And you're right, it's spotless. It's clean. All of the stereotypical manufacturing things you have seen in the past, they don't exist at this facility. Everything's contained. Everything's well-kept and clean. And there's a couple folks, that's their job. They make sure that there's no clutter, that everything gets swapped out. If it's full, it needs to be changed. They take care of it right then.
Well, that just boils down to efficiency.
It does. And they're doing 200 guns a day right now through the facility. They look to double that in a year.
Because, I mean, you give me crap because my shop is labeled and things are put back where they go and you can find things.
And fair enough. At the Kel-Tec shop, nothing's labeled. So you are still a weirdo.
Probably doesn't have to be.
Probably not. You're still a weirdo.
I'll take
no, that. No, he needs them labeled because he can't memorize his own rules.
No, I can't. I can't. I have to write that shit down.
That's funnier. You know,
with age comes great forgetfulness.
CRS. Yep, it's a clinical thing.
It is.
Can't remember shit.
And then there's age-activated ADD.
Is that what I've got?
Yes.
I didn't know it had a term. I just thought it was a retard.
No, it's age activated. You hit about 45, and like all of a sudden you cannot focus.
Huh. Now I have this excuse. I like it. No, the party was good. The facility to see it up and running is really good. The fact that they've hit their milestone of production of 200 guns a day is kind of impressive. That's a lot of equipment running through there every day.
Well, and I've always thought Kel-Tec's kind of a undervalued company. You know, Kel-Tec, they really made their bones in the pocket pistol world.
They did,
and they made a good gun.
And you got to say what you will about Kel-Tec, but
quirky.
They do it their way, and it works just fine. They find a unique engineering way to do the firearm solution, whether it's a 12-gauge shotgun all the way through a pocket 9mm pistol.
Oh, their three-barrel shotgun? That is cool.
Yeah. I mean, the KSG, it holds a lot of ammo.
Especially if you use the shorty rounds.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I get 26 in mine.
For a gun that's designed to take pieces off of people and throw it on the floor, mm-hmm. that's a lot of hate.
It's a very, very lot of hate.
And I think that's where people kind of lose it. Like, they look at Kel-Tec and they're like, oh, it's quirky, it's weird, it's different, you know, and it's not the 2011 that I want now, or it's not the sexy, but their stuff works.
You and won't find anything Me Too.
No.
At their shop.
Absolutely not. And I was really excited when, okay, go back to Colorado for a minute. You know, they passed the absolutely draconian laws. And I thought, well, man, Kel-Tec's got the market because they're 5.7s loaded with a stripper clip.
Mm-hmm.
But it's 21 rounds.
Exactly right.
You can't have more than 15.
But it's not a magazine.
Well, internal.
So is the round count going to make a difference if they can no longer have a magazine?
It's verbiaged out.
Yeah, it is. You're right. External magazine.
External magazine. Yep. And they don't have that. So it makes it California compliant, and it does. It holds 21 rounds of a fire-breathing dragon in the 5.7.
5.7 is no joke.
It's quite formidable, really.
Well, look at what Secret Service is carrying. They're carrying MP7s, which fires the 5.7.
And it's a 22 caliber projectile, sure.
But it's running like 3,800 feet per second.
It's fast, really fast. So I've had a test gun for a while now because I'm helping build some of the ammunition for their testers. And that gun shoots as good as anything else in my cabinet. And my 2011s included, my HK included, it shoots as good as any of those.
All right. Okay, I need to go play with this now.
Yeah, it's kind of fun. You can't unload and show clear. It's not a match gun.
No.
But it fits a niche that wasn't there before.
Is it concealable?
Yes.
Okay.
It's small. It's thin. It's actually more concealable than your Hellcat.
Really?
Yes.
Okay. That's what we need to test.
Okay. I've got one.
Because, and to be fair, I think at the end of the year, my Hellcat's going to go in the safe, and I'm going to start carrying the Prime. The Canic Prime. That thing just shoots.
Well, good. It's all about finding something that works for you.
Now, I'd say this, but I'm probably going to put a different optic on it.
That's fine.
Because the optic that I'm running, this is one of those experiences. Like, I hated to do it, but I went to my sponsor's booth, and I know more about their optics than they do.
That doesn't surprise me. There is a lot of companies, some of the new ones more importantly than the others, but they're given a product from their factory, and they're a marketing group. They don't know much about it from a technical perspective, why you do certain things versus others, what features really matter when it comes right down to it. And it's not all the fads. It's not. It's got to function. It's got to be parallax free, and you've got to be able to pick it up quick.
Right.
So outside that, you can do a lot of things. Most of them wrong.
Right. Well, and you and I actually had a discussion the other day, and what I was finding, and this is something, shooters, here you go. Here's your tidbit of the week. I was finding that if I was wearing polarized glasses, mm-hmm. I couldn't find a dot. And you explained to me how polarization works.
Yep. That it lays down in a very specific orientation.
Right. So turn your head.
Did you do that?
I have not had a chance to try.
Because it makes a big difference.
Apparently it does. And I kind of noticed, actually, I got a new pair that are polarized. And I'm not sure they polarized them right because they do really weird things when I put them on. My eyes have to adjust to it. And I've never had that. Kind of weird. But, yeah, I've noticed, like, some things I can see great depending on the angle. And some things I can't see at all.
And if you look at, like, screens at the gas station pump.
Oh, they're gone.
The keypad at the where you'd run your card at the convenience store.
Yep, gone.
If you turn your head, you can see them again because the orientation on the coatings on the little LED screen and the coatings in your glasses are in conflict of each other.
Well, maybe I'm just weird. I just take them off.
That works as well, as long as you can still see the numbers. Mine are all prescription, and if I take them off, I'm blind.
Well, there's that, too. But, you know, contacts.
Oh, yeah, I don't do that.
But I don't have bifocals yet.
They're coming.
Shut up.
It's not an if, it's a when.
Yeah, shut up. So on that note, I'm going to say let's blame the education system since we already got rid of the Department of Education.
Yep, that's fair.
Blame the indoctrination system.